bless you for standing. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Looking forward to a big day, not only here in the house of the Lord, but also this evening gathered together for our Faith Family Fireworks Picnic, annual church picnic. We'll have some more details here in the second session concerning that. We do realize that rain is forecasted for the afternoon, so there'll be a little bit of change. We're certainly not going to cancel, but we will change just a little bit, and we'll let you know those changes going forward here in the second session. We have been doing, in our adult Sunday school class, we have been looking at different characters in the Bible, different individuals of the Bible, and doing what you might call character studies. Looking at these individuals and learning from the lives that they led, lives that are pointed out in Scripture, things, deeds that were done, both the pros and the cons, if you will, and endeavoring to live our lives in such a way to do what they did right and avoid what they did wrong. Amen? And so we are continuing in that study. If you have your Bibles and you would turn with me to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter number 1. We're going to be looking at Hosea. The lesson is entitled Hosea, Prophet of Love and Forgiveness. Hosea chapter number 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 2 and read down through verse number 11. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the Lord hath committed, or for the land rather, hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Balaam, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. She conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. And when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. And then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. While the Bible talks in reference to what would happen, the naming, the taking of a wife of whoredoms, the naming of these children, and though it presents a very dark and dreary time in the nation of Israel, the Lord gives hope in verse number 10. At the same place where I say you are not my people, in that same place you shall be called the sons of God. So we look at the story of Hosea, a very peculiar story, if you will, and I want to focus your attention to one more passage. It's found in Hosea chapter number 6, verses 1 and 2. This is the focus verse for this morning. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hosea is somewhat of a difficult book to wrap our brains around. Presents a prophet who is prophesying in the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom after its division in the rulership of Rehoboam, rather. And so you have two different kingdoms, if you will, a part of what we would call the people of God. You have the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. And Israel at this time is continuing in its backsliding away from God. It has gone, if you will, worse in its journey away from God and its idolatry. And so Hosea is the prophet who, one of the prophets, if you will, who is prophesying during this time to the northern kingdom of Israel. He's endeavoring to turn the heart of the people back to God, to turn them away from their idolatry, to turn them back to the one and true God whom they began to serve and who they knew to be the God that would deliver and help and save. But in the midst of Hosea, it's a difficult book because of its complexity of prose, the way it's put together, how that there's symbology in the story, how that sometimes it's talking in a literal sense and sometimes it's talking in a figurative, and sometimes in the figurative sense it has a literal application later on. And so it's in and out, if you will. In the present, things are happening, and Hosea is doing things, but they are pointing ahead to things that will happen. And there's also things that Hosea is doing that is pointing to things that are currently happening in the nation of Israel. So it's kind of a difficult book, if you will, to really understand all the complexities and everything that has to do with the story of Hosea. One thing is for sure. It doesn't take long in reading the book of Hosea until you realize that Hosea symbolizes God. Gomer symbolizes the people. It is an allegory, if you will. It is symbology in the sense that you have Gomer, who is a continual backsliding bride. A bride who was chosen by Hosea, but a bride who continues to commit adultery. You have Hosea, who symbolizes God, that while his bride is continually backsliding, he as the groom is continually going after her. And so the story and what takes place, and while throughout the prophets you will find that God has the prophets do strange things. They do rather peculiar things, trying to turn the attention of the people back to God. And it's interesting that in the northern kingdom you have Hosea, and in the southern kingdom you have Isaiah. And they are prophesying at the same time, and they are attempting to turn the divided nation, if you will, Israel and Judah, back to God. But in their names, in the actual meaning of their names, the Hebrew word or root for their names is simply salvation. Through both prophets and in both kingdoms, God is trying to turn the heart of the people back to him. He's trying to express his love for them and how that he is dissatisfied and displeased with their continual idolatry, which is symbolized in Gomer's adultery. He's trying to show them that he wants to be their only love. He wants to be the one they look to. He doesn't want them serving Baal and Ashtaroth. He doesn't want them sacrificing to other gods and building groves in high places. He wants them to serve him. To stop with the infidelity via idolatry with other gods. God is trying to turn the heart of the people back to him. Sometimes in reading about the prophets, we neglect to understand that while they were prophets and while they prophesied and they preached, they were also in some sense actors. They were dramatizing situations in an attempt to turn the people back to God. If you don't believe it, well, do a little study. You will find that the Lord commanded Isaiah to walk around naked and barefoot. Isaiah 20 and 3. You'll find that Ezekiel built a clay model of the city of Jerusalem and depicted the enemy laying siege to the city by lying on his side for 390 days for Israel and 40 days for Judah. Odd, peculiar, weird. Jeremiah walked around preaching with a yoke of oxen upon his neck, trying to symbolize the bondage that the people were about to be in if they continued backsliding away from God. Strange things were asked of the prophets to do in order to try to turn the people back to God. But what Hosea is asked to do might be one of the strangest. Because it's not just acting. It's not just putting on a yoke of oxen. It's not just laying on his side for a period of time. But he is asked to go and marry a prostitute. He is told to go and find a wife of whoredoms and to raise children of whoredoms, the Bible. The Bible clearly states that the first child born was Jezreel. And the Bible says that Gomer bears him a son. And so
by indication and context, we would seem to understand that Jezreel was as a result of the union of Hosea and Gomer. It's not the case. You don't see the same reference in relation to the next two children. Many scholars would agree that the next two children, Lo Ruhamah and Lo Ammi, were not children of Hosea, but children of Gomer's adulterous relationships. And yet Hosea raises them. It's odd what God has asked Hosea to do. It's odd that it's not just an act, it's a life that now Hosea is to live. It's something that Hosea is to do, and not only marrying a woman of this nature, but continuing to go after her. Even after she continually commits adultery, she continually runs out on him. She has children of other men, and yet Hosea is asked to love her. Go and retrieve her. In some sense, you could say that Hosea very personally shared God's feelings of love and betrayal as he took part in God's continued attempts to win back the affections of his bride. This was something very personal. I'm not trying to demean or discount what the other prophets did and peculiar things that they were asked to do by God and the persecutions that they endured. They did. But Hosea is asked to go and take a wife. She's not a chaste virgin. She's a prostitute. Her line of work is already known. Her proclivity for being promiscuous is already known. God tells Hosea, go and take her as a wife. Full well knowing, with probably the expectation that hopefully, I have it in my mind that maybe Hosea hoped that she would remain true to him. Hosea hoped that she would not continue in her activities and her lifestyle. He hoped that she would be a faithful bride. As time would tell, she was not. As time would tell, she has children. The best we can tell, children of other men. She continues in her wayward ways. You still find that Hosea goes after her. Hosea, he is, if you will, that typology of God. And Gomer is a typology of the people who continually turned their back unto God. Throughout the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you will find that God often uses infidelity and adultery as symbology to the people and their backsliding and their worship of idols. You find Isaiah 1:21 that Isaiah lamented the fact that the faithful city of Jerusalem had transformed into a harlot. Jeremiah described the people of the Lord as a devoted bride in her youth. Jeremiah 2:2, who grew up to play the harlot on every high hill and under every green tree. Isaiah 2:20. First, faithful. First, true, but before long, turned aside as an implication, if you will, of the illicit relationships. Under every high hill and under every green tree, the people of God played the harlot. In fact, Ezekiel railed on God's people for playing the harlot and accepting any potential lover who happened to pass by and take notice. All of these indications of a wayward people who had forsaken first love and had gone after idols. And so Hosea and Gomer's marriage becomes a living metaphor of God's relationship with his people. Even the joy of children brought some measure of sadness as God commanded Hosea to give his offspring prophetic names. Can you imagine? Not only do you have to deal with the reality that this child is not your own, but now you name that child Lo Ruhamah. Every time you call that child, you're saying no love, no mercy. Every time you utter that child's name, it's a reminder of the nation of Israel and the condition that they are in. And every time you call that child's name on a personal level, it's a reminder there's no love for you because your wife has continually gone out on you. Lo and me. Names that he gives the children under the commandment of God, they even show. Jezreel the first, that seems to be the only child of the union of Hosea and Gomer. He signified the end of the northern kingdom of Israel. And they fall into Assyria in 722 BC. And then, as we stated, Lo Ruhamah, no love or no mercy. And then, Lo Ami, which means not my people. Can you imagine? Every time you call your child, you're saying, you're not mine. Doesn't say anything about it, but I wonder what kind of stigma these children grew up with. Lo Ruhamah, Lo Ami, no love and no mercy for you, you're not mine. It seems so over the top of you. It seems like God is asking Hosea, how can one man endure this kind of day in and day out? It wasn't for just a period of time. It was for his life. As the children grew, continued to call them the name. His wife Gomer continued to play the harlot. Oh, what a picture of God's love. The Bible even says that Hosea pleads with the children. Plead with your mother. Please tell her not to run out on me anymore. Please, help her stay faithful to me. No, Gomer continues to go. She continues to run out. She continues to play the harlot. She continues to add insult to injury. And as it is being played out in his personal life, it's also being played out in the people of God. Question. Hosea, how'd you hold up, man? How were you able to endure that kind of onslaught day in and day out? How were you having those own personal feelings and feeling that own the emptiness and loneliness and betrayal and rejection and all those emotions that you had to deal with on a personal level in your own private life and in your own family? See it played out in the people. Almost as if it's a mirror image of what's going on in your own personal life. It's going on in the nation that you are trying to turn back to God. A nation that, like your own family, you love. And you're trying to nurture, to help, and you're trying to get them to turn back to you. Just as God is trying to get the nation of Israel to turn back to Him. God hopes. He tells them through the prophet, listen, if you'll just turn back to me, I'll make your vineyards, I'll make your land plentiful, I'll bless you, I'll provide for you, I'll give you all the things that you need if you just turn back to me. As if the same thing was playing back in Hosea's life as he's reaching to Gomer. Just love me. Just don't go anymore. Just I'll provide for you. I'll give you everything you have need of. Think about what he must have felt like as a man. Think about what he must have gone through in the sense of continually reaching for a bride. He was continually turning her back on him. Wanting to provide. Having the availability to give her everything that she could want or desire or need. yet are turning away from Him and choosing the arms of other men. Wow, what a harsh reality that He must have had to live in order to try to portray unto the people what God was trying to do. What emotions He must have battled in His own heart. On one hand, He felt the wound of Gomer's betrayal, threatening to destroy any affection He might have felt for her. And on the other hand, He recognized He still loved His bride in spite of her infidelity. Oh, if ever a man on this earth really felt the heart of God, Hosea did. Hosea felt the rejection. Hosea, in that sense, was much like a type of Christ who came unto His own, but His own received Him not. Who came to heal and to help and provide, but yet they turned upon Him and said, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." He came to touch them and raise them and heal them, but they only sought to hurt Him. Hosea, I applaud you, sir. Probably a better man than me. What you put up with and what you dealt with. What you were able to endure. All to try to get people to turn their back from the world and turn back to God. They would not. So we find in the story that Gomer, the continual backsliding bride, finds herself in an awful place with very little hope of redemption. A slave to her desires, she would be sold as a slave to quench the lust of her master. Now what seemed as pleasure for a season, now what seemed as just a good time going out and doing things, now it has encompassed her life and now it has completely enslaved her. And what was just an occupation maybe or whatever it was on the side, now it's become her life. And now she's going to be sold into slavery. Now what once was a choice would no longer be a choice. Now what was just an activity or a behavior or just this thing that she was doing, now it's going to be something. It will be a part of the rest of her life without any choice because she's about to be sold. Things that she had been involved in are now about to possess her. And oh, what a picture of those who continually go away from God into sin. Just for a season, just for a time. If ever there was a story with hope for the backslider, it's the story of Hosea and Gomer. If ever there was a story for individuals who continually turn their back from God, if ever there was a story that gives hope to anyone, no matter how far they've gone, or no matter what they've done, no matter the atrocities they may have committed, if ever there was a story of hope, it is Hosea. Because while she stands on the auction block, ready to be sold, her Redeemer walks up and offers the price of redemption. Come on, Hosea. He's made this bed, let her lie in it. Come on, Hosea, what are you doing? There's a chance that she'll return back to her old ways. Why? You're throwing good money after bad people. Why are you doing it? Why, Hosea, would you even come? Why would you even gaze upon this ordeal? Why would you even put yourself in that audience? Why? Just let her go, Hosea. Hosea walks up. Here's 15 pieces of silver. An omer of barley and a half omer of barley. I want to buy her. What do you think that did in the heart of Gomer? knowing how many times she's betrayed her love, knowing how many times she's found pleasure in the arms of another man, knowing how many times she has spurned and turned her back on this man. When everything in her mind tells her he should walk away, he should leave me to my own devices, he should let me be sold into slavery, he walks up and says, "I want a redeemer." What a story of God's love. What a story of hope that Hosea would pay such a large sum to buy back a woman of infidelity. That he would reach out to her and he would redeem her. What a picture of God's love for all of humanity. What a picture of God's love for you and I, who gave himself for us, who continually is coming after a backsliding bride, who was continually reaching for and longing for his people to turn their heart back to him and say, "Lord, we love you. And Lord, we want to do your will and do your way." Just as the kingdom of Israel was a chosen nation, we are a chosen nation. God has chosen us, and God desires to place his name upon us, and God desires that we would love him as he loves us. Fortunately, we often play the part of Gomer, but oh, so fortunately, he always plays the role of Hosea. And he always loves. As I read the story and I look at the lives portrayed in the story, I see God's commitment of love, God's unwavering desire for his people. In spite of all the things that they had done, in spite of all their backsliding, in spite of all their idolatry, in spite of all the things that they did to turn away from God, he still reaches for them. He reaches and they turn away, and he reaches and they turn away, he reaches and they turn away, he reaches and they turn away. Same was with Hosea. He would reach and Gomer would turn away. He would reach and Gomer would turn away. But the beautiful thing is, he didn't stop reaching. The beautiful thing is that God didn't stop reaching. And the Lord, even as we read earlier in verse 10, said this: "In the place where it is said, 'You are not my people,' in that same place shall you be called the sons of God." Hosea 3, a few verses of scripture. "Then said the Lord unto me," Hosea 3:1, "Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for an omer of barley, for an half omer of barley. And I said unto her, 'Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee.'" You skip down to verse number 5. It is a message of hope. "Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." In closing, you can stand to your feet. Fitting that we would call this prophet, prophet of love and forgiveness. His own personal life, in the prophetic words that he would preach, the ways in which he would attempt to turn the people back to God. you got to read the end of the story. Because afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. It's right there in the story of Hosea. Right there in the middle of his personal life and struggles. Right there we have a prophecy concerning the Messiah. After 2 days, will he revive us. And the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. Let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. Hosea, what you did was not for naught. You showed the love of God. You showed true love and forgiveness. As a result, you pointed to Christ. You pointed to the one we would reject. We would turn over to the hands of sinners to be crucified and slain. But who would redeem us by his blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hosea, it must have been a hard life, sir. But you endured, but you went through. But here on this day, on this morning, we celebrate Hosea as a hero. Because of what he did. And how it shows God's love for you and I. Lord, I'm so ashamed that I often find myself as Gomer. But in the same moment, I'm so happy that I have a Hosea. I'm ashamed. I repent, God, for the times that I turn my back on you. I serve other things and other interests. And I'm so thankful that even when I play the part of Gomer, you never fail to play the part of Hosea. And you reach to me. Right now, we stretch our hands towards heaven. Can we thank God for his love and forgiveness? Thank you that you did not give up on me. Such love, such forgiveness, such a willingness to redeem despite the continual backsliding. What a picture of love.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Our Sunday school classes will be returning here momentarily. Can you take some moments and just reflect on God's love and forgiveness towards each and every one of us? Lord, I'm so sorry that I've often gone the way of Gomer. But I'm so elated that you never fail to be Hosea.
He loves you and me. Oh. and seas that are shaking.